When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 106, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 1 hour down, four more to go on our five-hour midnight ride until the warm-up show. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. And, you know I said it a lot last night, but it's still, you know, because I do these shows in the morning, so, like, it was everybody's Monday yesterday reacting to the weekend, and I just hear stuff that just boggles my mind. And I don't understand. Like, I've been yelling about Aaron Boone, and everyone has. He's become the talking point here, and honestly, rightfully so. I also think it's wrong to dismiss it. Like, I've seen a lot of people, oh, it's not about Boone, it's never been about Boone, and while I've said that a lot, you can't deny the attitude and the body language and the way they've gone about playing. You can't deny that. It's not just losing. It's not. It's poor fundamentals. It's not crisp. It's ugly baseball with mistakes and laziness and not running ground balls out and sulking and, you know, just there's no way to not at least have the conversation about Boone based on how they're playing. It's just, it would be unfair to say otherwise. But at the same time, it's not, it's what it's really not about is his in-game decisions. And the amount of people that I heard all day long call who want to walk Devers in the seventh inning with nobody on and one out is mind-boggling to me. The amount of people who wanted to walk him, it's crazy. And we're going to kill Aaron. This is the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. We're going to kill Aaron Boone for not putting on a base runner, bases loaded, I mean, with bases empty in the seventh inning when the pitcher's throwing a shutout. I'm supposed to give them a base runner? He's not Barry Bonds. I don't care how good he's against the Yankees. You know, just, you got to pitch to him. Don't throw an 0-2 fastball. But the amount of people all day long I heard, just walk him. What are you, an idiot? Walk him, walk him, walk him. I'm not walking him. He's not Aaron Judge. He's not Barry Bonds. He's not Babe Ruth. And I know the next at bat, he hit a fastball 6 inches off the plate and managed to pull it 400 feet. I don't know how the hell he did that. He's an incredible player, and he beat the Yankees. But I'm not giving them anything. I don't like giving stuff. In certain man on second, two out, of course. Why would I let him beat me? I'm not just giving them the go-ahead run on base. I'm not doing it. And I just, the amount of people all day long who are just so wrong on this, it just drives me absolutely crazy. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone calls. Michael in Bloomfield. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mac. How are you, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
So I've been a season ticket holder for the Yankees for five seasons now. I'm a 41 game ticket holder.
Cool. That's awesome.
I'm a sports therapist. I've traveled the world with many different companies, and these injuries are killing me. So I'm with my 9-year-old, and I'm at the game, and we're watching these guys, specifically Stanton, just sitting in the dugout, not doing his due diligence, stretching his hamstrings, using some of his new yoga stretches that he's been learning. And he's just killing me by running a double out to second base, and he pulls a hammy. Like, there's just no excuse for
that. Well, I mean, listen, I'm sorry. I appreciate your – I'll take you at your word. There's no reason to lie. I believe you that you're a physician, and you don't know what he's doing. Like, you don't know what he's stretching, what he's not stretching, because you see him on the field. I went to the game the other night. He's out on the field running and stretching before the game. We don't know what he's doing inside. It's unfair to just say he's sitting on the dugout not doing anything. The guy's in tremendous shape. You don't think he's doing anything?
No, I mean, I'm sitting across from the dugout.
Right.
I sit there 41 games.
I understand.
And
that.
I'm watching inside the dugout, and I'm watching him, and he's not moving. Like, yeah, he could occasionally goes in and out and he does his thing. But if you have a history of injuries the way you do, you have to continually stretch and exercise. I've treated the national tour of Lion King. I've worked with the Radio City Rockettes.
Right.
These people in between acts are stretching and doing many different things to keep their body limber. And I'm not saying, listen, I don't see everything
yeah.
that he does.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
And it's just not 100% fair to me to say that.
That's my point, because it's just not. Because I'm telling, do you think the Yankees aren't aware of this? Do you think the Yankees don't have the same knowledge you have, or doctors that have the same knowledge? They're trying to keep him, believe me, they're trying to keep him healthy. They're doing everything they can to keep the guy healthy. I doubt very much he's sitting there reading, you know, Reader's Digest with his feet up, smoking cigarettes and eating bonbons. Like, I'm sure he's trying. I don't think he's pulling a Peg Bundy.
that's fantastic. Listen, I get that. But at the same point in time, like, they keep bringing these people in. Like, take 5 years ago when I first got my season tickets.
Right.
How many guys tore their hamstrings or were out because they were pulling hammies back and forth? I don't necessarily have the faith in these, in the Yankees have the billions that they have, that they're contributing and helping their players the way they say they are. Based on what I've seen, each person or each athlete has their individual people that they work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Yankees need to get more control over their players. And like everything they're talking about Boone, like, listen, I see him. It's not all his fault. Yes, he does like what you've been talking about all night. Yes, there is his part in it. Like, there's also faults on our captain. Like, how do you let Grisham roll that ball up his arm and then run the second base? Or how do you let Volpe do that thing? Like, being our captain, being judged, you have to bring, and I don't know happening behind closed
doors. And that's the point, Michael. We don't know a lot. And I appreciate you're educated on the subject, but you don't know. You don't know what's going on. If you had access to him all day, then that would be something else. You don't. You see him on the dugout during the games. And, I mean, obviously, it's a very easy point to make. You call up, you say, you're a doctor, he's not moving, because it's Stanton, and he gets hurt all the time. So I could literally say anything. And, you know, it's hard to argue with you because he is hurt all the time. But we don't know. I mean, to make it seem like he doesn't, he literally made a point. He changed his whole body. At the beginning of spring training, he looked like a rail compared to how he usually looked. He got much leaner. He's been working hard. He's done everything. He's jogging around the bases. Here's the point I'll make about Stanton, be totally honest with you. Here's the point I'll make about Stanton. I saw a video of Stanton jogging in the outfield the other day. Activate him. He can't run anyway. I saw him in the outfield in B-roll. I'm assuming it was live. If I'm mistaken, then I'm mistaken. I could have sworn it was like, here's, you know, Stanton running in the outfield trying to get back from injury. If he can jog, then activate him. What the hell? That's all he was doing anyway. I don't care if he has to walk down to first base. They need him. I don't care if he can't hit a double. I don't care if he hits it over the center fielder's head. It bounces off the wall back towards second base. I don't care. If he's standing at first base, fine. I don't care. I just need him to hit a couple home runs, be a threat in the middle of the lineup. If he can jog in the outfield, that's all he was doing anyway. Activate him and play him. That's probably crazy, but I don't care. That's where we are at this point. If he can jog in the outfield, jogging was all he did. He jogged everywhere. There was no running at all. He's jogging late. His refrigerator is jogging. He better go catch it, but if he does, it's going to be in a jog. His nose is jogging when he has a cold. There is no running for Giancarlo Stanton. None. Honey, I got to go jog to the store. He's got everything. I think I'm out of running and jogging cliches. So if he can jog in the outfield now, just play him. But it's really unfair to just say, hey, I see him in the dugout. He's not doing his due diligence. That's why he's hurt. It's just not fair. And the same thing with Judge. Your first point is right. It falls on the captain. He's the captain. Some of it's got to land on him. And he was there talking to Stroman And part of it was to say, hey, blame me, which is a deflecting thing, which helps too. It's part of leadership. It's an interesting take to make. Let's calm him down. Stop yelling at Glaber. Blame me. I should have made a play. If we're going to start blaming people, bro, blame me. Not going to be so easy to yell at me, is it? But I didn't make a play. Get all frustrated with me. So that's an interesting way to go about it. But it is about the captain has to do his part too. But it's not fair to say he's not. That's the only thing. We don't know. We have no idea what's going on. We didn't know that, you know, Posada was the enforcer and Jeter, when he didn't like something, he would tell Posada and Posada would go and enforce it. We didn't know that until years later. We didn't care because they were winning. Jules in the Bronx. What's up, Jules?
Hey, C-Max. Now, you hung up on me last night.
But did I?
I was bringing up the point about Judge, and you said, oh, Judge is not the problem, you know, this and that. And I understand, you know, but if Judge doesn't step up, it's only, the window is just this year. That's it. Judge is going to get old. He's going to be 33 already next year.
Right.
Cole already is starting to,
He got hurt. We'll see. You might be right.
I know. We got excuses and excuses everything.
It's not an excuse. I'm just saying it's unfair to say he's coming off a Cy Young season.
I understand that. And you're right. Okay. All right. No. All right. Listen. Stanton went down, which was way more devastating than all the Yankee fans thought.
Correct.
You don't have Stanton, then you don't have that intimidation. Judge needs Stanton after him in the batting order. We go away to like L.A., we go here, we go there, and we intimidate. And when Stanton bangs a homer the way he hits it, and then Judge can follow up, we intimidate, and we got the upper hand. Now, this is the thing I want to bring up. I'm 75. I watch Roger Maris and Mantle hit, you know, to go to the games all the time. All right, here's the point. Years ago, they used to have, like, player managers. And it wasn't that out of, you know, there was a Richie Ashburn, a couple of sluggers.
Joe Torre.
Okay, but the thing is, Judges has got to step up. Don't be everybody's best friend. Tell them right in their eye, all the players, look, man, you know, get it right.
I understand, sir, I do. We don't know if he's not doing it, though. Like, this is what it just bothers me, because they're not performing on the field, so therefore nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's doing anything about it because they haven't done it in your face. This is the same guy, Aaron Judge, who has been scolded by the New York Yankees twice, and this was in Andy Martino's book. He just wrote about the Cashman years. Aaron Judge has been yelled at by Brian Cashman and the Yankees twice for throwing seeds and covering up Yankee cameras when they were trying to get into the face of players who were struggling. Twice. The Yankee cameras, the Yes cameras, wanted to get in on whatever player it was who was struggling after coming back into the dugout, and he was talking with someone or some getting animated or something, and Judge walked over and covered it and was throwing seeds at it and everything, trying to stop the camera from getting in on it. That's how much Judge doesn't want to make stuff public. We have no idea if Judge is tearing apart the locker room, screaming at guys. We have no idea. He talked about urgency in the offseason. He's taken the captainship seriously. He might be laying into people. We don't know. But it hasn't worked, or they're not winning, so we assume nobody's doing anything. It's an unfair assumption. Boone's not going to do it publicly. It doesn't mean he's not doing it privately. The argument is, will doing it public help more? That's an argument. I don't know if it's true. I lean towards not really. But If we're fed up of all the same answers and we want to see these guys criticized publicly, you want to say that could make a difference? That's an argument. But to just say Boone's done nothing, Boone never says anything to anybody, nobody ever hears it from Boone, he never gets on anyone, we don't know that. In fact, we've heard the opposite. Gleyber Torres has come out and said that he would send Mendoza to yell at him. We just don't know. Now, all I'm saying is whatever they're doing, it ain't working. And that's clear and fair. But it's not fair to just say they're doing nothing. Because I don't think they're doing nothing. You think the New York Yankees are just watching them play this kind of crappy baseball and doing nothing about it? Do you honestly think they're not talking to people? Do you honestly think if they had better options and someone else to play, they would do it? Like if John Birdie were on this team right now and not injured, he'd be playing and guys would be benched. Or things would be different. If Jason Dominguez were here, Grisham wouldn't play. They don't have options. He needs to win. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Tom Coughlin and Odell Beckham Jr. That game against the Carolina Panthers, and when him and the cornerback were going at each other, and he just went like a maniac and you know, dived like a jet with helmet first right at him, and then they were brawling on the field, and he was acting crazy in that game, and Tom Coughlin didn't do anything. And Tom Coughlin didn't take him off the field. And Tom Coughlin didn't discipline him. And Tom Coughlin didn't do anything. And I remember thinking, wow. And we talked about it. I remember I was with Mike and Mike talked about it. And we were like, geez, that's unique for Tom Coughlin, Mr. Tom Coughlin time. If you're, you know, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. And the way he handled it, he had to get a veteran committee together because of, you know, his inability to connect to the players because he was such a taskmaster. And there's Odell Beckham Jr. turning himself into a weapon on the field, doing whatever he wanted to do. And Tom Coughlin said nothing. You know why? Because they were losing. They were losing, and Tom Coughlin knew they needed wins. And you don't win without Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but this is the team they have. They need to get some wins. They can't just, you know, he can't just bench everybody for lesser players right now in the moment. Now, there needs to be consequences, of course. There needs to be people held accountable, of course. But we don't know what's going on. And to say they're doing nothing is just a silly argument. To say they're not doing enough is obvious. To say whatever they're doing isn't working is true. To say they need to change up and figure out a better way to connect to these guys to make sure this crap doesn't happen, that's on the manager. And I'm open to that. And I'm pissed at Boone right now with the way they've played because it falls at the manager's feet. But you can't turn it around and say, well, he just sits there and does nothing, because we just don't know that to be true. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
How do you feel, Chris? How does it sting? You got stung. Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, I am, except I'm still swollen in the areas I got stung. I wasn't expecting it. Like, I got stung right in the gap on my left hand between my pointer finger and my thumb. Like, that's right where I got stung. Yeah. And this whole corner section of my hand is still all swollen. And then I got stung on my other forearm, and that's all red and swollen still. So, yeah.
Last time I got stung, I had to go to the emergency room. I had the biggest swell ever. So
yeah,
I have to
well, it's not
away.
It's not like big, but yeah. it's definitely swollen and red.
But you got like 5 bees, you were saying.
I don't know how many bees it was, but I got stung 4 times. I got stung once on the hand and three times on my forearm.
All right, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Chris, I'm calling with Aaron Boone. So you know what? I'm with you. I mean, I don't think a manager has much of a significant difference in the games, you know. And I think he's done a good job. I mean, how many times has he won 100 games? But I've been listening to the fan the last 2 days, and they've been killing him. So here's what I'm going to throw at you: the pattern with him, however, with the Yankees since he took over, is they have big winning streaks early in the year. You know, 22-17, they went through it. Like every year they seem to have big winning streaks. And then later on they have big losing streaks. So the only thing that keeps you thinking is, I don't know if that's attributed to him. So that's the only maybe negative that I have against him. And maybe, you know, my thought pattern could change about it. I mean, I've been happy with him. And listen, it's all analytics. So anybody that get in there, it's an analytics type. So it's hard to match. So my question to you is this, you know, pattern, is that attributed to him? And I just want to hear your comments.
Yeah,
feel good. And thanks for taking my
call. Thank you, Peter. I mean, listen, everything's attributed to him. It's hard to you know, separate him from everything. I mean, the good starts are part of him, too. I mean, again, and I saw, you know, Gio said this, apparently. They did a write-up for the website. And he's 100% right. They were 50-20 or whatever, 50-21 or whatever crazy number it was. They had the best record in baseball. Not a single person said, hey, you got to give Boone credit. Not a single person. Because it's easy. It's easy when they're playing well. It's easy. I mean, he has nothing to do with it. It's only when they're playing poorly that the manager is clearly at fault. Like, I think that's usually a ridiculous take that always gets thrown. The players win, the manager loses, particularly Aaron Boone. And I'd be right there complaining about this and fighting you all if it wasn't for the laziness and the boneheaded mistakes over and over again. So I can't defend him too much because he's allowed this crap to continue. But, yeah, nobody gave him credit for getting out to that great start. Nobody. Nobody. I think I might have been alone talking about the idea that he's shown urgency, that he stopped giving the bench players all these days, that he stopped giving Judge days off, that they were playing different. Like, I was saying all that. Not many people cared. Nobody seemed to want to give Boone any credit. Now that they're on a losing streak, it's Boone's fault. And I think it's partially overblown, but in this case, I can't dismiss it because we are seeing hideous baseball being played. And when it plays in, you know, it's become a narrative that he allows this stuff, and that's fine. And sometimes it's overblown, but when there's some smoke, there's fire. And now it's gotten to the point where you've seen Grisham be lazy, you've seen Glaber be lazy, you've seen Verdugo be lazy, you've seen boneheaded plays from Volpe being lazy and not hustling. We've seen DJ LeMahieu not run out ground balls. We've seen DJ LeMahieu have boneheaded plays on the base path. I mean, it's just too much. It's too much to ignore. It's too much to ignore. You have to be honest. And as much as I'll defend him and certainly do not put the crux of the blame is right now with the injuries and with the lack of depth in the roster. The roster right now isn't very good. They're better than 6-22 or 6-16. They're better than 10 games under 500. That they are. But I can't just ignore the terrible play and say, well, you know, Boone has nothing to do with it. I can't. I don't think he's the major problem. I certainly don't think his in-game decisions are the major problem. He makes mistakes. Everyone does. I don't think that's what's costing them. But right now, they're playing in a malaise, and it's his job to snap him out of it. And so far, he's been unable to do it. And every, you know, these years, it tends to happen where you get off to a better start. Now, last year's a weird year to use. Yes, they were 10 games over 500 when Judge ran into the wall, and then they lost Judge. They didn't have Soto, and they lost Judge. And they went on a losing streak. He was playing Bowers and Franchy Cordero in the outfield. And I don't know what you wanted Boone to do on that one. But yes, 22, they got off to this great start, and they had a tough time getting out of the slump when they went into it. This year, clearly, went into a funk, have a real tough time snapping out of it. And I'm willing to put a lot of that blame at the manager's feet, but let's just be fair and give him some of the credit for getting off to the good start. But we don't care about that. That's how it works.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
So, you know, doing this job, you realize, you know, taking all these phone calls and arguing with people from time to time. Most of the time, you know, sometimes they actually see the light and agree with you right away. But you argue with people and you realize you're just fundamentally different than people sometimes. So you just have a core belief, to steal a quote from Inside Out 2. I have a core belief on something. And you'd just be surprised how many people have the exact opposite core belief. And I came across that today. Because there are people out, there are people out there who actually believe this crap. I was sitting at my son's football game today, out in the heat, and I was dying. I mean, it was so freaking hot and humid, and the air was on you, and I'm just sitting there in the sun because there's no shade on this football field, and I'm sitting there in my chair and trying to keep hydrated, and the sun is just beating down on me, and it's so hot, and someone comes up to me and says, "Hot out there today, huh?" Like, yeah. And then he says, "Still rather have this than like 10 degrees, right?" And I'm like, no. Does anyone actually believe that? Does anybody, would you rather it be, like, if you walked out of your house, just on a random, you wake up, you're not sure what day it is, what year it is, you're completely confused. You know, you probably had a gummy or something the night before. And you just wake up and you're like, and you go outside and it could be 10 degrees out or 90 degrees out. Like, which one would you pick? Because I think you're an imbecile if you don't pick the 10 degrees. But I think you're crazy. Now, look, I love summer. I like doing things. I like the time off. My wife's a teacher. I like having a cocktail by the beach or by the pool. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But if you were just stuck sitting somewhere, doing absolutely nothing, you'd rather bake in the sun, like air conditioning, pool, beach, drinks, something. Okay, yeah, it's the summertime. It's fun. I love summer. I'm not knocking summer. But the actual heat, you'd rather walk. If you had to walk, you can always wear a jacket. You can always wear, you know, two pairs of pants. You could put on heavy-duty socks. There is nothing to do when it's 100 degrees out and the air is all over you. People actually believe that crap? People would rather it be 100 degrees outside than 10? You're out of your mind. Give me 10 degrees any day of the week. I'll wear a hat. I'll wear a face mask. I don't care. I'll wear a hood. I'll bundle up. It gives me options. There are no options. There are no options when it's 100 degrees like this. It's too hot. So I'm sorry. Yes. If you talk about just in general life, because I can go to the pool. I can sit inside in the air conditioning as opposed to sitting in the heat or trying to stay warm in the house. I'd rather, the air conditioning is the greatest invention of all time. Go to the beach, go to the pool, whatever. Yes, but just straight up, I'm stuck in the elements. I got to go somewhere. I got to go to a graduation. I don't know what, because that's a summertime thing. I would much rather it be freezing out. I can bundle up and wear gloves. I'll deal with it. I cannot deal with just sitting in swamp ass. I can't deal with it. It's the worst. So I just, it's one of those things, like he said to me, better than 20 degrees, whatever he says, better than freezing out. I'm like, no, I would much rather it be freezing out right now, sitting here in gloves and a winter coat. I'd much rather have that. You guys are crazy. Jim in Lynbrook, what's up, Jim?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just saying
that's a good. It feels like an argument's coming on now.
Oh, it's. I mean, it's like the Yankee and Giant network. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Giants are the worst team in football in the last 5 years.
That's fair.
And the Yankees win one game out of every three for the past month and a half. Mm-hmm. I mean, at what point do you just got to give it a break?
Are you talking specifically?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Specifically, well,
here's what you just did. Did you listen to my open?
Dude, 2 weeks ago, you told me Gleyber Torres is going to be the secret key to get the Yankees back on track. The next day, he's on the DL.
First of all, can we have a conversation? Because first of all, everything you just said there is incorrect. One, I never said he'd be the key.
The Giants are like the worst team in football in the last 5 years. They are.
Absolutely.
And the Yankees win one out of three games for the last month and a half.
About a month, because they won two in a row less than a month ago. But yes, that's fair. They've been terrible enough for the month. Yes, absolutely. But what you just said about Gleyber Torres, It's not the Yankees and Giants Network. It's just not. I opened with the Mets this morning. You just took 5 minutes instead of talking about the Mets or the Jets or whatever you wanted to talk about. You just wasted that time.
Other than like the loser, like I'm taking phone calls every single year.
Yeah,
it's not Aaron Boone's fault. It's Cashman, right?
It's partially Cashman. It's where, I mean, now, do you want to have
Cashman.
A debate on
he
it?
He builds the team. Aaron Judge sits there with his, like, little pendiflex of players. It's the talent. The talent is terrible.
Well,
you pitch around Soto, you pitch around Judge, and you got, like,
how did they have the best record in Major League Baseball for 2.5 months? With that talent,
in the beginning of the year?
Yeah, how did they have the best record in Major League Baseball? Judge had a miserable April. He was terrible. So how did they figure out how to have the best record in all of baseball for the first 2.5 months?
Luis Gil was like 9-1. The guy's got an 8 ERA in like the last month.
Well, I mean, he pitched great yesterday.
I mean, the bottom line is this is the typical the Yankees Dallas Cowboys of the Major League Baseball.
You want to call me up and get on the idea we talk too much Yankees and Giants, and then you go into a big Yankee rant. Call me up and talk about what you want to talk about. I'm taking all calls. I opened with the Mets this morning. I don't know what you want to talk about right now. There is no football. We'll get into a target for the New York Knicks and whether or not what they're going to do at the center position. We'll get to that over the course of the show. We'll talk some other things. I'm taking phone calls. The Yankees are getting more phone calls. I am a Yankee fan, and I'll be fair. I'm open to fair discussion. If everything being equal, do I talk more Giants and Yankees because I'm a Giant and Yankee fan? That's probably fair. But I think if you went back and took all the time that and all the subjects I have talked about while I have been here on The Fan in the year now, which we're coming up on a year, the 10th is going to be a year already. How about that? Are you tired of me yet, Fleegs? A whole year.
I'm just thinking how I'm going to defend. Like, I would call BS on the football part. You did plenty of Jets last year when they were the big story.
I was just going to say.
I mean, you had them going to the conference championship. You like them again this year. You talked Jets when the Jets, more than the Giants when it was warranted.
No doubt. I would say that Aaron Rodgers has been as big a topic on the show I've done for the last year as anything, including Yankees. I think it's right there with the Yankees. We had weeks, 4 or 5 nights in a row. It's Aaron Rodgers and what he's talking about. I've talked endless Jets. When they were on Hard Knocks, I talked nothing but Jets. Like, people hear what they want to hear. I'll be fair, if all things are being equal and there is no clear-cut lead story, can I lean Yankees and Giants because I am a Yankee and Giant fan? Sure. I guess I'll have to be fair. That's plausible. Maybe sometimes I might even do it subconsciously and not intentionally. Last year, we talked a lot of Yankee baseball because the Mets were already dead and the Yankees were having their worst season in 30 years. So, yes, when I first started the program, a lot of Yankees. And now, it's an existential crisis. They're falling apart. Aaron Boone, everyone's calling for him to be fired. I'm a Yankee fan. It's come up. But I've opened with the Mets, and now I'm taking calls. Don't call me and complain about what I'm talking about. Call me and talk about what you want to talk about. And that goes for all the complainers on Twitter or anywhere else who complain about this. Call me and talk to me. I opened with the Mets. Let's talk Mets. And here's a Boone call. Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I like what you had to say. I don't agree completely, and I'll tell you why. But I just wanted to pick a small bone with you because of this heat thing. If I have to walk 10 blocks, you call me crazy because I like 90-degree heat over 10 degrees.
Yeah, I think you're crazy.
It's just the constitution, that's all, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about anything
else. But it's about this. It's about this. It's about if I know it's 10 degrees out, I can bundle up. There are options. 90 degrees, there's nothing to do.
I'm from Canada originally.
Okay.
All right. And I lived in New York for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so I can tell you that while it makes logical sense what you're saying.
Yes.
It, I, I take it every 365 days. I'll take 90 degree heat.
It's crazy.
So it's not crazy. It's the constitution of my body.
I hear you. Listen, I wouldn't take 10 degrees 365 days a year. I would. Right. I like the mix. I would take 70 or 5. I would say.
No, I get it. Yeah. I'm just saying it's not crazy. It's just the constitution.
I get it.
But anyway,
it's crazy to me because I have a different constitution.
And so for me, being Canadian, I'm a big hockey fan, obviously.
Sure.
And coaching in hockey, I mean, you would never in hockey see guys lollygag like these Yankees have been doing. And I'm a big Yankees fan. I'm a New York fan. I like everything New York. When Cano was lollygagging, when any player, I like Charlie Hustle. I like Scotty Bowman. I like anything to do with Hustle and Nemo. I love Nemo. He hustles.
Right.
Anybody that hustles, I like. Anybody that lollygags, I can't stand.
Right.
But what I wanted to say was that the buck stops with the coach. Now, you can't just fire the coach in the middle of the year. I mean, who's going to replace it, right? Like, I get that fans are frustrated,
mm-hmm.
so I take the middle road on it. Like, okay, like you said, the Yankees started off on fire, and people aren't giving the manager enough credit. And so, what do you do though? I mean, it's his clubhouse. At the end of the day, the buck stops with the manager, and that's why I'm so upset with the manager, because it's his house and he's got to run it. And yes, others, you know, the captain and others, the players have to self-rule. There's no question.
Right.
Basketball and baseball, to me, I don't get the lollygagging. I loved it when Posada was there and when Jeter was there, and it was a self-rule. You know, the players ruled. And by the way, the Mets, what they did a month and a half ago was exactly what should be done with the Yankees. They should have a clubhouse meeting,
mm-hmm.
just like they had with the Mets, they should say, guys, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear you. I know what they should say. I got you. I mean, maybe that's true. Maybe they should have some kind of meeting. Thank you for the call. I don't think it's out of the realm that they do have some meeting, and maybe they have, and we just haven't been notified the way the Mets, you know, notified the team, because the clubhouse was closed right. It was right after the game, but maybe they are going to have a meeting. Maybe they did have a meeting. I don't know, but yes, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But again, like, we just have, you know, like, it's never happened. Like, no one on any of those Jeter or Posada teams ever not hustled. Or how about Chuck Knobloch just staring and pointing at the first baseman, or the runner, excuse me, in the Cleveland series, and just letting the ball roll there and two runs scored? Was he benched the next game? Was Chuck Knobloch punished for that? I mean, that's a brutal mistake that cost him a playoff game. He just stood there and let the ball roll while runs were scoring. Like, there have been times, we don't remember it because they won and it was 30 years ago, but Jeter and Posada had guys who didn't hustle. It happened. Trust me, it happened. And those teams, too. I mean, I know it hasn't happened much over the last bunch of years, but I remember, what was it, 05 or 06? They were 18 and 28 or something. They were 10 games under 500 at one point, and then came storming back when they brought up Cano and Chin Ming Wong. Like, you go through it. But the ugliness of it is just, it's been bad. Dovey in Lakewood, what's up, Dobby?
Hey, doing, C-Mac.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
How are you? What do you think the Yankees need to do by the trade deadline? Like, who do you think they need to get rid of? Who do you think they need to, who do you think they need to add?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone to get rid of other than some relievers, I suppose. I think they need to add...
My cousin was telling me that they should DFA DJ. I think he's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're going to DFA him. He's still got years under his contract. They're playing him because they're hoping he gets hot. I mean, that's what they're trying to play him back into the player he was a couple years ago. or even the second half of last year. They're not going to DFA him, so you can forget that. First of all, you got to think about who's coming back, right? So you got Stanton coming back. You've got John Birdie coming back. You've got Efros coming back. And you've got Jason Dominguez coming back.
When's Dominguez supposed to come back?
I think it was 8 weeks, maybe a month ago. So he's still probably another month, maybe early August. It'll be after the trade deadline. So they'll have an idea of how long it's going to be by then, I would think. But
can I ask you one more question?
I'm trying to answer you first still. But I think they need two relievers. They got Efros coming back. I would love to get a top of the level, you know, a top of the line reliever. I would love to get a Tanner Scott. I would love to get a Miller, you know, someone really swing and miss stuff at the back end of the bullpen, clearly. And then, I mean, Ryan McMahon or a third baseman where DJ LeMay is not going to get DFA'd, but he's going to get benched. I want a third baseman now, a bat in the middle of the lineup. I mean, someone of significance now to add to this lineup because they clearly need it. So whether it's McMahon or somebody else, but they got to do something.
And also, at what point do you think a fan goes from a casual fan to a diehard fan? Like, what's that line? At what point do you, like, I'm not sure how to word it, but what's the difference between a casual and a diehard?
Well, bare minimum, a diehard watches every game. That's the bare minimum. You watch all 162. So that's the start of it. As opposed to a casual fan who, you know, catches it when he catches it. You got to watch all 162. And if that means manipulating DVR and like that, you can't be a real diehard fan and miss games. So let's just call it that. You watch every single inning of every single game. That's a diehard fan. Because that's, I mean, maybe not. That's a bit strong. Maybe not once, not every inning. But you watch most of every game. I haven't missed a game in a long, long time. I can't remember the last. Oh, that's not fair. I told you the last time I missed a game and the only time in a long time I missed a game was actually the time of 2 years ago when the Astros no-hit them. Where Christian Javier started the game and they got multiple pitchers no-hit against them. That game in June 2 years ago, I had something to do earlier in the day, and then I had my high school 20th reunion that night. And I was going to watch it after the party or the next morning, whenever I was going to watch it. And it was a ho-hum game against the Astros in the middle of June. I didn't think, you know, we were all going to meet up and talk about how our lives were. I know I do sports, but I just didn't think anybody would throw the Yankee score in my face. And I remember I was in the bathroom. My buddy Ronnie said, "Can you believe they got no hit?" And I was like, "What?" Like, it had to be a no-hitter. Otherwise, I probably could have got through the night. But it's a freaking no-hitter. So once I knew they got no-hit, I was like, I don't have to watch that garbage. So I think that's the only game I've missed in, I don't know, 10 years that I didn't watch at all. Yeah, like 10 years probably. Jose in Newburgh. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's up? What's up?
What's up? What's up?
Yeah, you just described that's not a diehard. That's a fanatic, what you just described. That's a lot of games, man.
Yeah,
even at my peak, I couldn't watch that all of the games. But you know, real quick, I wanted to say you're right, man. It's just easier to put on some clothes and get warm than it's cool down.
Absolutely, like
come on.
I mean, here's the thing though, because when you say it's 10 degrees out, people get it's the wind and you're in a storm.
You got long johns, man.
Like just an average everyday, just cold day. I'd rather be cold out and put on extra clothing than walk through what I had to walk. I mean, it's just too hot.
I'd rather do 60 degrees all year long.
Oh, no doubt. I am a hoodies and shorts. That is the perfect. Because, you know, if it's warm enough to possibly wear shorts during the day, and then as it turns tonight, you put on a hoodie, that's it. Shorts and a hoodie, sitting around a campfire. I don't need pools. I don't need to be hot. I don't need to go to the beach. I just want it to be nice and sunny and 65 to 70 degrees. That's it. That's all I want. And this is the same dope. Now I'm going to Disney World in August. I'm absolutely out of my mind. I'm doing it again. I have no idea why. I have no idea why I'm doing it again, but I am. I'm going to Disney in August. I'm going to it's so ridiculously hot. It's crazy. So stupid. But, you know, the kids love it. So does my wife, which, by the way, she helps you plan your Disney trip. So if anybody's looking for a travel agent to a Disney trip, hit me up on social media. Send me a DM on Twitter. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. All right, 2 hours down and three more to go. We'll get to Pete Alonso, the Mets, the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby. Maybe have a little fun with that. I heard Loogie. He likes playing. That's a new one. He's really leaning into the Loogie, and he's the future. He's really had this wrestling thing going on. Good for him. But if, I mean, the only problem is between him being the future and the debate, I'm honestly really afraid of the future. But he was talking about Aaron Judge in the Home Run Derby and why Judge is ducking it and the love Pete Alonso has for it. So maybe we'll have a little fun with that. The Knicks and a possible target at the center position. And the Giants, Hard Knocks, Episode 2 tonight. What can we expect? Lean more into the Saquon Barkley saga. My money's on he goes to the Eagles.